The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello, I'm Doris Hyde from the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Vision News. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from an email and various websites, starting with an email from the American Foundation for the Blind, new AFB Research Webinar, the AI Quagmire. AFB Research Webinar Series, starting March 25th, 2026 at noon Eastern Time. The AI Quagmire, Benefits, Risks, and Aspirations Through a Disability Lens. AFB Research Webinar, March 25 at noon Eastern Time. Join us Wednesday, March 25th at noon Eastern Time for a webinar unveiling results from our brand new national research study. A survey of more than 1,700 Americans exploring how people with and without disabilities use AI, the barriers people with disabilities have encountered, and their hopes and concerns about future AI innovations. We'll be joined by guest speaker Maitreya Shah, that's M-A-I-T-R-E-Y-A-S-H-A-A. Technology Director at the American Association of People with Disabilities, who will help place our findings in the broader conversation about building inclusive AI policies and practices. Together, we'll discuss what these results reveal about the disability community's trust in AI, what they could mean for developers, deployers, and policymakers, how the disability community's perspectives should shape the future of AI design and governance, and the key research questions that still need answers. Don't miss this opportunity to explore how AI can evolve to better serve everyone. Register now at the hot link to reserve your spot. Big fat hot link box. Sign up for AFB's public policy and research mailing list. Receive up-to-date information about research opportunities, our latest reports, and webinars, or our public policy advancements. A hot link box for signing up for PPRI alerts. From Paralympic.org, Milano Cortina 2026, how skiers with vision impairment and guides form a dream team. Trust and communication are a vital part of the relationship between skiers with vision impairment and their guides. Dateline, February 2026. Skiers with vision impairment compete with their sighted guides in para-alpine skiing, para-biathlon, and para-cross-country skiing at the Paralympic Winter Games. Italian para-alpine skiing star Giacomo Bertagnoli, that's B-E-R-T-A-G-N-O-L-L-I, and his guide Andrea Ravelli, that's R-A-V-E-L-L-I, not only share goals and frequent victories on the slopes, but also the same birthday. Ravelli and Bertagnoli were born on the same day, 18th of January, 7 years apart, and that has helped the pair cement a special bond. The milestone falls in the middle of the competition season, and the duo often give themselves the best birthday presents of all. Gold in World Cup races. Bertagnoli, 27, a four-time Paralympic gold medalist, was in electric form at the Pyeongchang 2018 Paralympic Winter Games and also earned four medals in China 4 years ago, two gold and two silver. The duo hopes to put on performances of a lifetime in front of a home crowd at the Tofane, T-O-F-A-N-E, Alpine Skiing Center when Italy hosts the Winter Paralympics for a second time. The beautiful part of Milano Cortina's 2026 will be the people. The Italian people will watch the race and cheer, Ravelli said. Giacomo Bertagnoli and Andrea Ravelli overcoming problems and winning together. As they hurtle down mountains at 100 kilometers per hour, they talk to each other with a communication system built into their helmets. The battery-powered system has a Bluetooth connection and built-in microphones and headphones. It helps a lot to do a very good performance, Bertagnoli said. Ravelli added, "When we ski, we speak. I tell him right, left, jump, go faster, you can push." The athlete-guide relationship is full of highs and lows. The most beautiful thing about being a guide is sharing victories with your athlete. However, along the journey, there are many defeats, many tough moments to go through together, and you have to work to solve certain problems that may be due to technique or to the athlete's state of mind at that moment, Ravelli said. But when you manage to overcome the difficulties and achieve the desired results, like a victory or a world championship, they are truly rewarding, and that is the best part, overcoming problems together and winning. He said being a guide requires a high level of fitness. You need a lot of patience, a lot of passion, and good skiing skills, because the level is becoming very high, Ravelli said. He's very fast, and skiing in front of Giacomo is very hard. Iñaki Inola and Artu Cario being one skier on the track. And as well as para-alpine skiing, guides also compete with athletes with vision impairment in para-biathlon and para-cross-country skiing. Spectators at these events are asked to be quiet during races so the athletes can hear their guides. For Finnish para-cross-country skier Iñaki Inola, that's I-N-K-K-I-I-N-O-L-A, and his guide Artu Cario, A-R-T-T-U-K-A-A-R-I-O, building a partnership not only happens on the snow, but year-round at various training camps. We train in the summer, we run and roller ski together as much as possible, Cario said. We aim to be one skier on the track. Cario said the guide sets the pace, and the pair aimed to keep a short, consistent distance between themselves during races. The closer the better, I think. If it's over 3 meters, it is too much, he said. I'm always looking behind to see where he is. During the race, Cario must warn Inola if someone has fallen on the track or if they are overtaking another competitor. It is important for the guide to be on top of the situation, Inola said. Our rhythm has to be similar. Kalle Eriksson and Sierra Smith, learning and having fun together. For Canadian para-alpine skier Kalle Eriksson, K-A-L-L-E, E-R-I-K-S-S-O-N, and his guide, Sierra Smith, S-I-E-R-R-A-S-M-I-T-H, who have been competing together for 3 seasons, good communication is one key to success on the slopes. The biggest part is communication, just telling him what I'm seeing. If there are different turns coming up, she said. I try to motivate him to go faster. Any coaching cues that he is working on, I remind him of those. Eriksson said building trust is also a critical factor in podium appearances. I trust her a lot to get me down fast and safely, he said. From day one skiing together, it has worked really well. We've had immediate trust in one another. It's the name of the game in what we're doing, Smith said. The pair also say that it's important that an athlete-guide relationship has a strong friendship and fun. With Callie, I'm his first guide. We were learning on the run together. Neither of us had any idea, so we talked to some other athletes with vision impairment and guides and kind of learned along the way, she said. Retired Canadian para-alpine skier Mac Marcoux, that's M-A-C-M-A-R-C-O-U-X, and his guide, Tristan Rogers, gave the pair some pointers. Tristan just told me to say everything I could think of and to look back and make sure he was still there behind me, Smith said. Secure your tickets for the Milano Cortina. Well, it's a little late for that. Milano Cortina 2026, which took place from the 6th to the 15th of March 2026, is set to be the most beautiful Paralympic Winter Games yet. Ticket prices started at €10 for children under 14, with approximately 89% of tickets available for less than €35. For more information, visit tickets.milanocortina2026.org. From Olympics.com, we have Winter Paralympics 2026. Follow the voice. Marek Kubaka and guide Maria Zatovichova proving skiing blind is possible and fun. Slovakia's Marek Kubaka, that's M-A-R-E-K, K-U-B-A-C-K-A, is the only fully blind para-alpine skier at Milano Cortina 2026, his 6th Paralympic Winter Games, and 3rd with close friend Maria Zatovichova, Zatovichova. Olympics.com spoke to the duo about their tips for skiing blind and shared passion for Italian coffee. Article by Lena Smirnova. Imagine hurtling down a skiing piste, that's P-I-S-T-E, and wear blindfold with just a voice to guide you. Marek Kubaka does it very every day and on repeat. The Slovak para-alpine skier competes in the men's vision-impaired class and is the only fully blind athlete in his sport at the Milano Cortina 2026 Paralympic Winter Games. "Life is movement, and movement is life," Kubaka told Olympics.com when asked about his life motto. "One of the ways I move in life is skiing. You have to do something that makes you happy." Kubaka has competed in 6 Paralympic Games, starting at Torino 2006. The 37-year-old started working with his guide and friend, Maria Zadovichova, at Pyeongchang 2018, and she has been with him ever since, including Beijing 2022 and Milano Cortina 2026. "Me and Marek, we have a very good relationship. We are really good friends, and Marek has the biggest trust in me," Zadovichova told Olympics.com. He said it himself that he doesn't want to ski with anyone else because he trusts in me the most. Kubaka practiced alpine skiing growing up and clipped into his skis again less than a year after he lost his sight, age 9, with a spray can exploded in his face. Zatovichkova has also been a skier since childhood. She showed promise in the sport and was even part of Slovakia's national team, but had to drop competitive racing after training and trips became too expensive for her parents to finance. Guiding para-alpine skiers with vision impairments was a way back to the sport she loved, and Zatovichkova seized the opportunity. She was 14 years old when she started guiding Miroslav Haraus, H-A-R-A-U-S, who is competing at his 6th Paralympic Games at Milano Cortina 2026, the same as Kubaka. They skied together for 2 years, but when Kubaka's then-guide got injured in 2015 and Zadovichkova stepped in as a replacement, the coaches spotted an instant connection and paired them up instead. There's a hot link to watch the Winter Paralympics 2026, siblings, royals, rivalries, and other top storylines in para-alpine skiing, full schedule, and how to watch. Here's more about Marek Kubaka, the king of giant slalom. Kubaka does not compete in downhill since it is too difficult to stay close to Zadovichkova in a straight and fast course. He has tried to add the Super G to his program in recent years, but with mixed results. The 4 times when he has raced in the Super G at the Paralympics, including at Milano Cortina 2026, the para-alpine skier has only finished the race once, placing 7th at Pyeongchang 2018. "I wasn't sure 100% about doing the Super G here," Kubaka said. "I wanted to give it a try, but after this race, I definitely decided that Super G is completely done and finished in my career. In Super G, the more I ski, the more I feel, he continued. "But in giant slalom, I'm more confident, so I'm more relaxed." The biggest victory in Kubaka's career thus far came in giant slalom when he won the world title in the discipline at the 2019 World Para-Alpine Skiing Championships, with Zadovichkova guiding him. It is Kubaka's only world championships medal to date. Kubaka and Zadovichkova also nearly made the podium in giant slalom at Beijing 2022, finishing 4th, and were 5th in the discipline at Pyeongchang 2018. "I'm more experienced now, and now I know exactly what is good for me," Kubaka said of his decision to specialize in the tech events. "I think that's the biggest difference between who I was in my first games and now." From the Foundation Fighting Blindness at fightingblindness.org, Octant Bio begins clinical testing oral treatment for rhodopsin-related retinitis pigmentosa. Octant Bio has dosed the first healthy volunteer in its Phase 1 and 2 clinical trial of OCT-980, an investigational oral medication for rhodopsin-associated autosomal dominant retinitis pigmentosa, RHO-ADRP. This milestone marks Octant's transition to a clinical stage company and represents a novel therapeutic approach for one of the most prevalent forms of inherited retinal disease. The clinical program consists of 2 phases. Phase 1A is currently underway in Australia, evaluating the safety, tolerability, and the body's processing of OCT-980 in healthy volunteers. This will be followed by Phase 1B/2 studies in the United States involving patients with genetically confirmed RHO-ADRP. OCT980 represents a breakthrough in how researchers are thinking about treating retinitis pigmentosa. Rather than replacing defective genes, this small molecule therapy aims to correct the underlying protein misfolding that characterizes many forms of RHO ADRP. When rhodopsin proteins are misfolded, they cannot properly function within photoreceptor cells and cause cellular stress, leading to progressive vision loss and eventual blindness. By targeting the root cause, helping proteins fold correctly and move to their proper locations within cells, OCT980 has the potential to improve low-light vision and halt disease progression. As an oral medication, it could offer patients a convenient, non-invasive treatment option for this sight-threatening condition. We're committed to generating high-quality clinical data that can support safe, rapid progress of OCT980 into patient studies, said Sri Kosuri, K-O-S-U-R-I, co-founder and CEO of Octant. RHO-ADRP affects thousands of individuals worldwide and currently has no approved treatments. This form of retinitis pigmentosa is caused by mutations in the rhodopsin gene, which is essential for vision in low light conditions. Patients typically experience night blindness as an early symptom, followed by progressive loss of peripheral vision that can eventually lead to complete blindness. More information about the study is available on clinicaltrials.gov. In other news from the same source, Foundation Fighting Blindness appoints Jason Morris, M-O-R-R-I-S, as board chair. Dateline Columbia, Maryland, March 12th. The Foundation Fighting Blindness, the driving force in the global development of treatments and cures for blinding diseases, announced today the appointment of Jason Morris as board chair. Morris has served on the Foundation's board of directors since 2017, and most recently as executive vice chair. Morris will transition from interim board chair, succeeding the late Karen Petru, the Foundation's previous board chair since 2024. As the parent of someone diagnosed with an inherited retinal disease at a young age, Jason Morris understands our mission from every angle, said Jason Menzo, chief executive officer at the Foundation Fighting Blindness. He brings steady leadership and a deep commitment to the families we serve. We are grateful for his dedication and willingness to step into this role at such an important time for us. Morris first connected with the foundation in 2009 after his son was diagnosed at age 5 with CRB1-associated retinitis pigmentosa. What began with a local chapter meeting in St. Louis quickly became a long-term engagement. Over the years, he has served as executive vice chair, chapter president, national trustee, treasurer, and board director. He was also an original board member of the RD Fund, the venture philanthropy arm of the foundation, and will now serve as RD Fund board vice chair. Through their involvement in 17 Vision Walk events and more than a decade of chapter fundraising, including 14 years of annual dinner events, the Morris family has helped raise over $7 million to advance research, expand community engagement, and support the foundation's work. Like so many families, ours became to the foundation looking for answers and hope, said Morris. What we found was a community driven by possibility. It's an honor to step into this role and support the organization as it continues accelerating research and expanding its impact for more families today and for generations to come. In addition to his volunteer work, Morris brings more than 3 decades of executive experience across operations, finance, strategy, and organizational growth. He currently serves as president and chief operating officer of Courtesy Products, LLC, where he oversees a multi-state operation serving the hospitality industry throughout the United States and Canada. Over the course of his career, he has led strategic transformation initiatives, guided companies through acquisitions and restructuring, and built high-performing teams grounded in accountability and long-term sustainability. As board chair, Morris will work closely with the board of directors and executive leadership to advance the foundation's strategic priorities and support its mission to drive research toward treatments and cures for inherited retinal diseases and dry age-related macular degeneration. about the Foundation Fighting Blindness. Established in 1971, the Foundation Fighting Blindness is the driving force in the global development of treatments and cures for blinding diseases. The Foundation has raised nearly $1 billion toward its mission of accelerating research that will provide preventions, treatments, and cures for people affected by retinitis pigmentosa, Usher syndrome, Stargardt disease, Leber congenital amaurosis, age-related macular degeneration, and the spectrum of retinal degenerative diseases. Visit fightingblindness.org for more information. Media contact, Chris Adams, Vice President Marketing and Communications, CADAMS at fightingblindness.org. Phone 410-423-0585. From KUTV.com, American Council of the Blind responds to video of confrontation at Salt Lake Airport. The Dateline Salt Lake City. The American Council of the Blind is speaking out following an interaction between a visually impaired passenger and a Frontier Airlines employee at Salt Lake City International Airport that the traveler said left him feeling discriminated against, harassed, and dehumanized. A video of the encounter has prompted reaction online and raised questions about how passengers with disabilities are treated while traveling. Eugene Kim, who lost his vision 6 years ago, said he was at the Frontier check-in counter when the incident occurred. Kim said he informed a gate agent that he is visually impaired and needed assistance. "If I could get through life just like anybody else, I would do it," Kim can be heard saying in the video. 2 News spoke with Kim in an exclusive interview. American Council of the Blind responds to video of confrontation at Salt Lake Airport. "I'm learning to advocate for myself, which is why I started recording as soon as I knew something was up," he said. Someone like that should not be able to harass and discriminate against other disabled people. In the video, Kim repeatedly tells the agent that he has accessibility problems. The agent replies, telling him, "It doesn't matter who you are, you need to get in line." Kim again explains to the agent that he was brought to the gate by a guide and is visually impaired. The gate agent can be heard asking Kim his age and telling him, "You're not a kid." Kim said the exchange left him shaking with anger and embarrassment. Claire Stanley, Director of Advocacy and Governmental Affairs for the American Council of the Blind, said she cannot speak directly to what happened in this case, but described the encounter as discouraging. "We always want to be treated as humans and be treated like adults, not infantilized," Stanley said. Stanley cited the Air Carrier Access Act, a federal law that prohibits discrimination based on his disability in air travel. She said passengers who are blind or have low vision are entitled to assistance from check-in to boarding, and again upon arrival through baggage claim or pickup. "We're supposed to receive a guide who treats us with dignity and respect and safely gets us through an airport to all of those different pinpoint locations," Stanley said. She added that negative experiences for travelers with disabilities are not uncommon. "It's very frustrating and very discouraging because it does happen more than I think people realize," Stanley said. Frontier Airlines said in an email to 2 News that it is investigating the incident and plans to refund Kim's travel in full. They also said the agent in question, employed by a third-party contractor, is no longer associated with the Frontier account. "I don't know what the resolution is here," Kim said. "I just know that my civil rights were taken away for just a little bit, and it really, really didn't feel good." Kim said he has not been contacted by Frontier and has not received a refund. In a statement, Frontier Airlines confirmed that the agent was employed by a third-party contractor and not the airline or Salt Lake City International Airport. A Frontier spokesperson said the agent is no longer associated with the Frontier account. The spokesperson also confirmed that the refund was being processed and that Kim should see it completed shortly. In a separate statement, Nancy Vollmer, V-O-L-M-E-R, a spokesperson with SLC, said the situation does not reflect the culture at Salt Lake International Airport. The airport said it prides itself on excellence and unprecedented customer service for all passengers. Vollmer said the SLC meets all the requirements and regulations set by Title II of the Americans with Disabilities Act. She added that all tenants and contractors are also compliant with Title III of the ADA, as well as the Air Carrier Access Act and Sections 504 and 508 of the Rehabilitation Act. SLC is often looked at as a model airport for accessibility by the FAA Office of Civil Rights and other industry leaders in accessible travel, Vollmer said. Airport officials added that all badged employees are required to complete training on interacting with individuals with various disabilities. From NFB.org, prepare for National Convention. The NFB National Convention, the largest gathering of blind people in the world, will be held July 3 through 8, 2026 in Austin, Texas. It is the premier event for training, support, and information for the blind community. It also serves as a governing body, democratically electing our leadership and establishing each year's organizational priorities. 2026 convention details, July 3 through July 8, 2026, JW Marriott, Austin, 110 East 2nd Street, Austin, Texas, 78701, Austin, Texas. Registration? In-person registration. Register for the 2026 NFB National Convention at the Hotlink. Online in-person registration is $25 per person plus $85 per banquet ticket. The online registration deadline is Saturday, May 31st. Registration will be available on-site, but rates will increase. Registration includes the access to the biggest event of the year, the mobile app, and timely convention news and communications. Virtual registration. Register for the 2026 NFB National Convention virtual experience at the Hotlink. The virtual experience registration fee is $10. Registration includes access to the mobile app and the opportunity to win door prizes. Hotel reservations. The JW Marriott Austin will serve as our headquarters hotel and space for all convention events. The Austin Marriott Downtown will provide overflow space. Call 800-627-7468 to book your room. Specify whether the JW Marriott or the Austin Marriott Downtown, along with our room block code, BL1, to ensure you receive our convention room rate. Rates and taxes. Our 2026 convention hotel rate is $139 per night for singles and doubles. Triples and quads are available for $155 per night. Sales tax and a tourism fee total a combined 19%. Deposit and cancellation. For each room you book, the hotel requires a deposit of the first night's room rate, taxes, and fees payable by credit card or a personal check. If you use a credit card, the deposit will be charged immediately. If a reservation is canceled before Sunday, June 1st, 2026, half of the deposit will be returned. Refunds will not be issued after that date. About the hotel. Both hotels offer a number of dining options, 24/7 fitness centers, and rooftop pools with cabana rentals. The hotels are in the heart of downtown Austin, surrounded by local restaurants and shops. A few blocks south, walking trails line the section of the Colorado River known as Lady Bird Lake. Convention schedule. The 2026 Convention of the National Federation of the Blind will be an exciting and memorable event, with an unparalleled program and renewed dedication to the goals and work of our movement. July 3rd, a wide range of seminars for parents of blind children, technology enthusiasts, job seekers, and other groups will kick the week off. Convention registration and registration packet pickup will also open on Friday. July 4th, breakout sessions continue, along with community meetings. July 5th begins with the annual meeting, open to all, of the Board of Directors of the National Federation of the Blind. National Division meetings will follow that afternoon and evening. July 6th, General Convention sessions will begin on and continue through the afternoon of Wednesday, July 8th. July 8th, convention ends on a high note with the banquet Wednesday evening, so be sure to pack your fancy clothes. The fall of the gavel at the close of the banquet will signal convention's adjournment. There's more, but you can find that on the NFB website. I've run out of time for this week's Vision News. I hope you enjoyed listening. Please join us next week on Doorside Reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Vision News is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have comments or questions, call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.